Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hello and welcome to the Bulwark Podcast. I'm your host, Tim Miller. It's December 1st somehow. I don't really know how that happened. I gotta start Christmas shopping. I don't know. What's going on, Bill? How are you doing? How's your Thanksgiving?
Time flies when you're having fun, Tim. You know, it's the Trump.
Is that right?
Sometimes the Trump era seems like it goes in dog years or whatever, but maybe this is the opposite. We're all
Yeah, I don't know. It has felt like a long year.
But my Thanksgiving was good, thank you. And yours?
Mine is good. The whole family was at a big house on the beach, which explains my beach clothes for the YouTube viewers. You know, is that restful to have four children under seven at the beach? Not really, but is it fun and nice and wholesome? It is. So I'm happy to be back with you, though. I want to indulge, it's podcast hosts' rights, I think, to begin. It's a lot of news, but to begin with the stuff that's happening in my neck of the woods, which is in New Orleans. And the Border Patrol plans its invasion of New Orleans into Jackson Square beginning today. Unfortunately, I'm flying back tonight, so I'll be in the air during this. But there is a protest tonight at 6 p.m. in Lafayette Square for all the locals listening, if you want to head down there. You had your conversation yesterday with Aaron Reichlin Melnick that focused on immigration and what their plans are. Obviously, this is absurd to send the CPB into New Orleans. This is a solution in search of a problem. And we'll kind of see how it shakes out. But based on what we've now seen in Chicago, Charlotte, and elsewhere, I think we know it's coming. So I'm wondering what your thoughts are on that and your conversation with Aaron yesterday.
I mean, I am curious to see what happens. And I think the upshot of my conversation with Aaron was worrisome. And he's a genuine expert on this, obviously, and follows it very closely. And it's been, I think, a voice of alarm, but a little bit cautious alarm in the sense that, well, they can't really ramp up as fast as they said they would, and there are some legal constraints. But he's been struck, too, by just how far they've gone, how far they're going. And with all the money that's flooding in and all their talk about now moving beyond just, well, gee, we have to kick out the criminals, to just flat out remigration. We've got to clean, we've got to remove 53 million foreigners. Most of Trump said, didn't he? It was at Thanksgiving, his Thanksgiving tweet. Most of whom, I think he said, are criminals and other such types and public charges. Unbelievable nonsense. They seem to be all in on this. And, practically, I've always thought, won't Trump pull back a little? It's not very popular. It's getting crazier and crazier. But there seems to be no instinct to pull back. So I think for me, what it says is we sort of want to think we've seen the worst of it. By Chicago, that was kind of, that was bad. But, they've got to let up at some point. They've got money flooding in. They're hiring people. They're hiring people who like doing this, apparently. The more you see these videos of ICE and the Border Patrol, they're finding new cities to go to, as you just said. And it's bad. I mean, I think the degree to which we are going to have this just chugging ahead in a lawless and brutal way, and the radicalization of the anti-immigration agenda, if I can put it that way, it's not good.
The individual stories, I'm already obviously getting a lot of texts from folks locally in Louisiana and just anecdotes. little Mexican restaurant that opened up after Hurricane Katrina, like closing down because they don't want to put any of the workers at risk. That dialysis center saying like people aren't showing up to get their dialysis because there's worried that ICE is going to be there. I mean, this it's just like there's just so few people that are for this, to your point. But like the political argument for it is crazy. And I do think that's the importance in this case of as the aforementioned protest and showing up and speaking out about it, because while it seems like Trump and Miller, et cetera, are not going to be cowed, I do think that like to the extent that we're seeing some cracks in other Republican world, I think it's possible that some of them will be less supportive as this continues to escalate and go forward. And I think that it's important to, you know, kind of focus on it for that reason.
I totally agree. And, you know, I say this in the newsletter in a slightly different context, but Congress can control this. I mean, the notion that there's right. just nothing we can do except, you know, demonstrate, and I'm for demonstrating, don't get me wrong, I've been very impressed. I think actually the citizen action with regard to ICE, 98% of it, 2% of it's probably over the top, but has been really admirable, I've got to say. People are taking risks and doing much more than they need to do to go out on the street and help people who are being harassed, and not more than harassed, I mean, being obviously seized by ICE and harassed as well. So I'm impressed by the citizen reaction, but Congress can stop it. Congress can put all kinds of rules in place on use of ICE, use of Border Patrol, standards for which by which they should pursue, under which they should operate, and so forth. I feel almost silly saying Congress, 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 the Republicans in Congress. Could you please do something? It's like pathetic to keep saying it, I suppose. On the other hand, as you say, there are some cracks, and they really do need to do something. Otherwise, we're going to have 3 years. If you didn't like what you've been seeing in Chicago for the last month or two, we're going to have a year or maybe 3 years of that, and city after city. And what is it going to do to the country? I mean, and then with tens of billions of dollars more behind ICE and the Border Patrol. Ugh.
Yeah, I mean, Congress is funding it to the point that they can stop it and put rules around it. I think it feels pathetic, but it isn't, to bring out the Republicans in Congress. There was a story I came across this morning about something that's kind of flown under the radar, but Trump's pulled a lot of nominees lately because like Republican senators behind the scenes, you know, are doing things. So again, you had Epstein, the vote go against him and everything unravel. As he starts to feel more like a lame duck, you know, just sort of a little bit more courage or a little bit more willingness to kind of, you know, put sticks in the spokes of what they're trying to do, I think it's possible. I don't think it's particularly likely, particularly on this issue, since it's so central to Trump. But, you know, I mean, there are potentially things around the edges that could be done. And obviously in Louisiana, this is only happening because our stupid governor is allowing it to happen. And then, you know, maybe in certain states, not Louisiana, unfortunately, but in other states, I do wonder if the politics are a little different. We talk about the individual stories, just this other one from over the weekend of Lucia Beloza. She's a 19-year-old college student. She was brought to the U.S. from Honduras when she was 8. She was on her way to surprise her family for Thanksgiving break, flying from the Northeast down to Texas. She was detained at the airport in Boston and deported to Honduras. She had a federal judge's order blocking removal, and yet the government deported her anyway to a country that she hasn't lived in since she was 8. Just insane, totally depraved behavior that has like 20% support in the country doing like deporting Dreamer kids back to countries they never really lived in, you know. And I think in addition to being illegal, like the other thing that struck me from over the weekend was Kristi Noem was out and she basically confirms in an interview that she approved the planes that sent the Venezuelans to CICAT in El Salvador, even after the judge objected. And so you do, I think, have like this humanitarian crisis along with like a real, some real rule of law, you know, questions and potential issues down the line should we ever get through this.
It is depraved. That's a good word for it, unfortunately. I mean, really unfortunately, that this is happening in this country. And these are not marginal cases. This is not the sort of reasonable version of a restrictionist agenda. We should let fewer people in. We should be a little stricter about the ones we find who have broken the law and maybe done something violent and make sure they really get expelled. It's so many miles or whatever, furlongs, I don't know, removed from this. And also the mask came off this weekend this past few days in terms of what their agenda is with Trump embracing remigration, a term that's become popular on the far right in Europe to mean, and this is literally what it means and what Trump's implying with this is 53 million foreigners, not just stop people from coming, we want to get rid of people who've come here, not just people who've broken the law, but people who've come here legally, or people who are undocumented but haven't broken any other laws. But even if they are documented, and their children, because we want to turn this country, we want to get rid of the impact of all these people, basically brown and black people, basically in Europe and here, who have come to this country. And when Trump says 53 million foreigners, most of whom are criminals or public charges or sponging off the country, whatever he says in that one tweet, he's talking about, I don't know, he's talking about J.D. Vance's in-laws, right?
Right.
He's talking about his wife just mentioned, and his own in-laws. I mean, not that he cares, I guess, but it's grotesque. I mean, really is grotesque. And the policy that follows from this understanding is depraved and so un-American, so anti-American. The public has been good, actually, in its reaction, I would say, all things considered, given that they were genuinely concerned about the border and that Trump had a bit of an advantage on that issue to start with. But it would be nice if Republican members of Congress and other elites spoke up a little. It's not like business leaders don't have some say in this. It's not like they couldn't raise this when they were at their black tie dinners with Trump, you know. It's not like others couldn't weigh in. So I don't know. Maybe it's, as I say, one feels a little foolish sometimes just saying this over and over, but things do change, you know, you say things a few times and they don't have any effect. And then if Trump's at 38% instead of 45%, and if, as you say, if there are cracks that are emerging into support because of Epstein and other issues, one has to just keep saying it, I guess.
Sure. And business leaders locally also in Charlotte, New Orleans. And I was looking at the kind of the list of the sponsors on the protests, you know, in New Orleans. I'm not seeing the Chamber of Commerce on there, you know.
Right.
And that has, in the past, business has actually been an ally in a lot of ways on the immigration issue. You mentioned the Trump bleed. So this is in response to this terrible shooting in DC, which I want to talk about, but I just want to read a little bit from it. I mean, I think obviously folks will have seen this, but just to set the table, these West Virginia National Guard soldiers who'd been deployed to DC were still in DC. We're near the White House when they were shot by a Afghan asylee, basically. The shooter was in the anti-Taliban paramilitary force in Afghanistan. And so he qualified for the program that allowed Afghans that basically helped us to come to America after the end of the Afghanistan war. This process started during Biden. He was actually approved for asylum during the Trump administration. I don't think that's going to be happening anymore. I want to talk about the actual murder and the National Guard soldiers, particularly Sarah Beckstrom, who died, in a second. But to your point on Trump's reaction, he writes, "I will permanently pause migration from all third world countries, denaturalize migrants who undermine domestic tranquility, and deport any foreign national who's a public charge, security risk, or non-compatible with Western civilization." Those are two things that are just worth noting there. So we're going to get rid of the legal status of people that undermine domestic tranquility. So what could that be? That could literally be anything. That could be somebody that sends a tweet criticizing Trump or posting a meme about Charlie Kirk. We've seen this, or obviously like commenting on the Israel war. These are the types of things that potentially could lead to someone losing their green card status in the country. We've already seen it. And then we're going to deport people who are non-compatible with Western civilization. To your point about the racial element of this, I did a little rant about Scott Jennings over in the Bloor Takes feed if people want to listen to that. But like, what are these guys even talking about anymore when they're talking about Western civilization? Like for a while, it was talking about kind of like enlightenment ideology and, you know, like our allies, you know, our with other Western nations and like being democratic. I mean, like Fighting for the West had this meeting in like from the 80s till recently of, you know, like, you know, basically this sort of classically liberal ideology and our system of alliances and capitalism and trade. Trump's against all of that. Like Trump is trying to break down our Western alliances and really us with the Sharia law dictators and El Salvador and maybe Russia, right? And so, like, what do they mean when they say people are non-compatible with Western civilization? I mean, it seems like basically that they're non-white and that they're critical of this administration is essentially what they mean.
Oh, totally. Totally. It's really, I mean, this is this awful killing that he's using that excuse. I mean, this guy apparently had some kind of psychotic breakdown, basically. His family's been worried about him. They tried to get him, I think, some counseling. It didn't work. He drove cross country. It's terrible what happened, obviously. But the idea that this is an indictment of the Afghans who fought with us, it's pure demagoguery. What can you say, right?
Well, and again, like, I just want to be really clear. And obviously our listeners understand this, but, you know, assholes clip all this. Like, this person, this is so sick and unacceptable in all regards. And like, there's just nothing that can be said. Like, Mark Hertling's piece was so good in the book. People should go read it about, like, what this is going to do to the fellow members of the West Virginia National Guard and, like, in his experience, like, the tragedy of losing somebody like this who was just trying to serve the country. Like, it is horrible what happened. Like, simultaneously to that, like, we all speak, you know, this is one of the rare things that people on the right and the left both agree on right now about the mental health issues, like, for soldiers, like our soldiers, American soldiers that were serving in Iraq and Afghanistan, and how to deal with that when they come home, and like the challenges related to mental health services and all this. So it's like, there's this horrible war that went on for 2 decades in Afghanistan. Like, and a lot of people were helping us in that effort. The options that were facing us were, like, abandon all of them and say, hey, thanks for the help. Screw you. Good luck with the Taliban, who will end up treating all of you just horribly. You'll be imprisoned or killed or whatever. Like, so we can abandon all the people that helped us, which, you know, in the long term, like, what is that going to say about America? And you know, when we ask a future nation to help us when national security is at stake, so we can abandon them. Or we can, like, take the people that helped us, allow them to come here if they so choose, try to integrate them into society, provide the services, and, like, they're bad options. Like, they were bad. Like, those, that is it. Like, that is what you're left with. And obviously a lot of folks, we know, Will Selber and our friends have been working with a lot of the Afghans that have come to America who are, like, great Americans who are, you know, working and going to, and for them all to be smeared because of this one guy's, like, mental break and his horrific actions is terrible. And, like, worse than them being smeared is now you have, like, Trump, like, completely changing the policies to make our immigration policy closer to China than it is to, you know, what we've wanted in a free country. And so, like, these are just, like, the hard questions that, you know, everybody has to grapple with in a sensitive situation such as our leaving of Afghanistan. And, like, you know, look, you know, we all know what these guys are going to do about it, right? Which is just demagogue and use it to essentially eliminate anybody having the opportunity to come to America for a better life. And so, you know, because they don't care about that.
No, that's very clear, right? The Haitians in Springfield, I always come back to that one, but it's the most obvious. Sure. There was no charge. They went to a town that was in decline. They helped revive it. They were working hard and they were attacked and made the object of demagoguery a year ago, a little over a year ago. And he now has, in fact, followed through and is going to has pulled maybe temporary protected status from the Haitians and is going to try to deport them all. There's no accusation of anything there, right? They don't have a higher crime rate. I mean, they don't want them here. That they do not want those people here. They don't want the kids here. They don't want the country to look a little browner and a little darker. And they don't want people from, quote, third world countries, just the way 100 years ago, people didn't want Jews from Poland or Italians from Southern Italy. And it's bigotry, and that's what it is. And the damage it's doing, I mean, some of it should be stopped by Congress, but B, the damage it's doing to the social fabric, don't you think? Well, to the people themselves, of course, who are the objects of the bigotry and who now worry about their future. I mean, Trump is, but also in general to the social fabric. I mean, it's important to have a country that where people have the incentive and the feeling they should try to work together and make this all work out, not the opposite.
Yeah. And JD, like when he was at the Vatican, you know, after the Pope died, is doing an interview. I think it was with Ross Douthat, where he's talking about how we need to do this because of the social fabric, right? Like the social fabric of the country is already deteriorated. So this is all like part of the rationale for, you know, this deportation regime and these new policies is keeping the country together. But like that's absurd on its face. Like it's absurd on its face. Like it's based on this premise that like 10 years from now, if the country is a little bit whiter, then we're all going to get along better. Like what is the evidence for that? I mean, like the political divide is maybe the starkest between whites in the country. I mean, like if you just look at it and what we're doing now is going into these communities, terrorizing them. You know, we saw this in Charlotte, as I mentioned, we're seeing in New Orleans now, people are scared to go to school. People are scared to get health services that, you know, engenders bitterness. Like that is doing the opposite. And then taking this horrible tragedy in DC and, you know, making it about, okay, well, now we're going to take certain classes of people and attack them and otherwise. Like, that's what they're designed to do. Okay, like, if they want to advance their policy because that's their ideology, fine. But trying to wrap this in the idea that this is going to help the social fabric of the country is preposterous. So I should just say, because I meant to, Andrew Wolf was the other West Virginia National Guard guy that got shot. You know, the latest update as we're taping this is that he was in critical condition, but things are looking better for him. So hopefully he comes out the other side of this. That's just one of these situations where it's like, it's so fraught because every element of it is bad, right? Like the shooter's actions, just abominable, terrible. Like, it's just a nightmare. The poor West Virginia National Guard soldiers, why were they in DC during Thanksgiving? Like, serving no real purpose. Trump's reaction to it, like the worst type of demagoguery. Me and Bill's podcast has been positive like the last 2 weeks. Okay, people. So we're gonna have to get into the muck a little bit today. Hey, everybody. You wouldn't know it looking at my tan right now, but fall is in full swing, and fall calls for comfort that you can count on. And our sponsor, Mack Weldon's, got all the essentials for fall. Comfortable, easy to layer clothes designed for cooler days and timeless style. Their new Ace line, inspired by their best-selling sweatpants, combines everyday comfort with long-lasting and confident looks. You can explore new hoodies, half-zips, sweats, crewnecks, and more at MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order of $125 or more with the code THEBULWARK. I have had to turn to some Mack Weldon to, you know, feel comfortable but also look good podcasting. You might have seen a black button up on me where I'm looking pretty sharp. And I've got some other stuff I'm eyeing, you know, because unfortunately I do have to leave the beach here soon and return to Washington, D.C. and New York, where it's looking chilly. I'll just say it's looking chilly. And I'm going to need some Mack Weldon to keep me nice and warm. You should check it out, too. Also, for gifts, we're getting a Christmas season. You know, if you got a little kind of golf dad in your life that needs a little half-zip, check out Mack Weldon, which is the go-to choice for guys who want to look great without even trying. Their clothes are designed to fit your style and the demands of modern life. They look like regular clothes, but they feel comfortable. And they feel modern, not cheap. So fall into comfort with Mack Weldon's Ace Collection. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code THEBULWARK. That's MackWeldon.com, promo code THEBULWARK. You began the newsletter today, your newsletter, with a great quote from the City of God: remove justice and what are kingdoms but gangs of criminals on a large scale, which is very relevant today. So I want to talk about our gangs of criminals and how we're acting across Venezuela, Russia, pardons, some other areas. But just want to talk a little bit about the newsletter and the big picture of this first.
Yeah, I mean, we have, I guess, was provoked by the pretty obvious war crime that seems to have been committed, if the Washington Post reporting is to be believed, and no one's really challenged it seriously. Blowing up all these boats is probably a war crime or lawless, certainly, as even Andrew McCarthy of National Review says. But, you know, ordering a second strike to kill the two survivors, which seems to have happened, is literally the definition of a war crime. It is the definition of a war crime in the Defense Department manual. Killing people who've been in a shipwreck is sort of the quintessential thing you can't do, even if the original thing were lawful, which it probably wasn't. So terrible that we did it.
It's notable for people who don't know, Andrew McCarthy has been is a National Review, their legal writer, who was, you know, pretty generous to Trump, I would say, over the cases with regards to the impeachments. I think that's a nice way to put it. And I just think it's worth noting, because I went and read it after you mentioned it to me, has been, there is no caveat. There is no, you know, kind of talking around it. Like, his description of what the lawlessness of the government's actions in Venezuela before this report, and then now with this killing of potentially, you know, reportedly two people that had survived the initial attack, and then we just gathered them out of the water anyway. I mean, he was just abundantly clear about the illegality of it, which is noteworthy given kind of where he's been before on Trump.
Yeah, absolutely. And then of course, we have the normal financial crimes, money crimes, the grifting. I mean, it's so out of control. It's so massive. It's so many different people are now involved in so many different fronts. Some of it's now mixed up, maybe it always was, but a little more obviously mixed up in key foreign policy decisions. So the Witkoff stuff with Russia influencing our Ukraine policy, obviously in the Middle East, we've seen that for quite a while. It's not just that they're getting rich which is they shouldn't because it's against the law to do what they're doing, but also they're getting rich at the expense of our national interest of doing their duty as public servants, beginning with the president and all the way down. But the amount of it is really astounding. So that's upsetting. Then, of course, there's the Epstein thing. We'll see if they continue to try to cover up those sex crimes. So we have money crimes, sex crimes, war crimes. It's a gang of criminals. I mean, I guess I somehow that St. Augustine quote occurred to me, and then I kind of started to write the thing. You know, I write the Morning Shots newsletter mostly in the morning, but I collect material the night before. I had so much stuff, and I looked at it this morning. I thought, I should probably go through all these things, you know, all the evidence of corruption, of criminality, of just shamelessness and grifting and conning their own supporters and so forth. And I didn't actually in the newsletter, but partly I just didn't have the energy or the time. Partly this is like, it got too depressing. It was like we were saying before we were a little upbeat the last 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. We were upbeat because the wheels are coming off. And I think that is true. Instead, these two things can both be true. Right? Yeah. The wheels are kind of coming off and it's also getting worse. And which is going to happen first is a huge question. And also the other problem is if the wheels come off, if you want to torture this metaphor, you know, like an out of control bus careening across the American landscape and across the world. That's not a good thing either. So, but anyway, I think that's why we're sort of seem simultaneous. We seem slightly schizophrenic probably on this, yeah. this podcast, you know, because it is kind of an odd situation. But I mean, again, the degree of criminality, and I thought maybe I shouldn't use the term criminal. That's a little strong. I could say grifter and I could say this. But I mean, they are a gang of criminals and from the top down. And they're all complicit. And the ones who aren't personally engaging in the grift are complicit and legitimate. If you're in the White House counsel's office, you're letting all this happen. And I've lost all patience with the notion that some of them are better than others almost at this point. I feel like if you're part of it, you're part of it. And if you're in the Congress and doing nothing about it, you're kind of part of it too. So it's bad.
Amen. I kind of feel like we should just leave the podcast there. It'd be a little bit of a short podcast, but that pretty much sums everything up. But why don't we do what you did not have the stomach to do in the newsletter, which is go through each of them one at a time briefly. In Venezuela, I think is the most striking one. Not pun was not intended there, but as mentioned, reportedly, Hegseth ordered that everybody be dead in the first attack on the boat in the Caribbean. Two people survived. They did a follow-up strike, killing two people in the water. Hegseth has been asked about this. He doesn't really answer. Trump's been asked about this. He doesn't really answer. They're not denying it. And then after kind of these media questions, Hegseth posts onto X a picture that is a spoof children's book titled Franklin Targets Narco-Terrorists. And it features a turtle shooting a boat with a bazooka. And interestingly, the turtle appears to be missing the boat. The missile, or whatever it is, seems to be hitting just to the side of the boat, which is maybe kind of an apt metaphor because it seems like that might be what have actually happened, which is why we had to shoot a second time to kill the people that were at sea. But just like the childishness combined with the criminality, I think is pretty noteworthy.
It's unbelievable. I mean, did they get, incidentally, that's a pretty popular children's series, right? The Franklin and became a TV series, I think, from the books and all this.
We're not big Franklin readers in our house.
Yeah, but I don't recall that, it that well. It came out, I noticed, I looked up for 2 seconds, mid-80s or something. So I don't really remember it too well from our kids. But anyway, they should be suing or something. Not that it matters these days. I guess Hegseth just has the right
to. I don't know. I'm pro-suing. I was trying to goad Andrew Weissman into suing Trump on the podcast last week, which I do think he should. That was not a bit.
Right. It's a total defamation what he said, what Trump has said about him. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. No, Hegseth is, I mean, it's juvenile. It's offensive. And say that first boat, the more you think about it, the more one reads up. The pictures in this idiotic cartoon sketch that Hegseth used AI to, or someone used AI to produce, has, you know, two or three, if I recall, drug smugglers in the boat, and then a whole bunch of drugs, like to show you, oh, they're drug smuggling drugs. This first boat had 11 people, which is why people from the beginning thought this probably wasn't really a drug boat. It's probably a human, you know, smuggling boat, which means some of the people in there were people wanted to come to the U.S., were paid, I suppose, these traffickers
or
to bring them.
Else,
or somewhere Columbia. Else, or Trinidad or something, yeah. And just got killed. And so it's even, in a weird way, the stupid cartoon thing seems to suggest confirmation for the notion that this first boat was not even if you think it's okay to blow them up, which it isn't without any evidence and knowing who they are, these people really, really, really weren't okay to kill. So anyway, it's horrifying. They're not going to apologize. I don't know internally that they'll be held accountable. The whole JAG system has been gutted. This Justice Department, the degree to which we've depended on a Justice Department being willing, maybe sometimes a little cautious with its own administration, but willing to actually enforce law against people in the government. You know, I mean, if that stops happening, what's left? I mean, who enforces the law? The president doesn't insist on it. The JAGS, the DOD seems to have been gutted in terms of its internal checks and balances. Justice Department is not going to do anything. It's really a very bad, this is when you come back to Congress, courts can do a little, you come back to Congress, and this as in other areas. Now here we do have a little bit of congressional action, right? The kind of joint statements by the Republican chairs and the ranking Democrats in both the Senate and House Armed Services Committee. So maybe a little hope that this is so shocking that maybe they will do something and maybe it'll remind them they can do a whole lot of other things as well.
All right, y'all, I'm styling you today. I'm styling you for the fall. I'm styling you for the winter. You can check out Mack Weldon. You can check out our friends at American Giant. We've been talking about American Giant. They've got the greatest hoodie ever made, of course. And also, you've been seeing me in American Giant for a minute. I remember what I was wearing back at that Bulwark bus tour in the fall of 2024. I was all American Giant-ed up. I was looking cute. I had that little called maroon, maybe. I can have a maroon long sleeve shirt and a flannel overshirt. Damn, I looked good. And that's because American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable for years to come, ensuring you get layers you can count on for seasons to come. Layering is important. I don't know how much more endorsement you need than the fact that I'm wearing all kinds of American Giant all the time. And I've been telling you that even before they were a sponsor, my husband was bragging about how his favorite hoodie came from American Giant. So we've been loading up on more hoodies because we do get two cold months in New Orleans that do call for hoodies. And you want to be cozy if you're in a hoodie on a Sunday afternoon. American Giant offers a wide range of looks from the greatest hoodie ever made to everyday pieces designed for everyday life. You got fleece to knit, all in seasonal colors for versatile daily wear. You got jeans, t-shirts, and more. Check it out at American-Giant.com. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code Bulwark at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off when you use code Bulwark at American-Giant.com. On the broader Venezuela action, since we last podcasted, we have a no-fly zone, I guess, over Venezuela now.
I don't know if we do, actually. I think Trump said we do. So I read somewhere that there's still flights taking off, so I don't know.
Okay. Like the president of the United States is just kind of out there making claims that may or may not be accurate about our military actions related to Venezuela, which is potentially a no-fly zone. Risky flights, I guess, flying through there. And I guess this question, like, what are we going to do? Are we planning on shooting planes out of the air? That was the implication of Trump's announcement. You know, maybe this is one of the fake things. I mean, this is part of the, what do they call it? The crazy man theory, where it's like, you know, you just have a president out there making random proclamations and, you know, seeing how people react to it. So we have a maybe not no-fly zone over Venezuela. Scott Bessent was out, this is about a week ago now, but I don't think I talked about it, worth mentioning. He made a kind of an aside comment on the Laura Ingraham show when talking about inflation, where he said, if something happens down in Venezuela, maybe we can see oil prices come down even more. This is kind of an interesting comment for the Treasury Secretary to make, that maybe part of the inflation strategy is war in Venezuela, where we take their oil and that decreases oil prices. I was reading this morning, Matt Iglesias has had a pretty interesting just kind of piece about like this potential war in Venezuela. And it's like, I feel like I'm about as sympathetic as you could be to like, there was like a quasi-serious proposal going around for the last few years, like related to this, which was that, you know, it would benefit the U.S. to help for there to be more stability, obviously, in Venezuela, for there to not be migrants. You know, it would make us less reliant on Middle Eastern and Russian oil. And it's kind of all these arguments that, like, you can maybe sell me as a recuperating neocon on. But, like, we're not doing any of these things, right? I, this is just a totally shoot from the hip. We're, like, shooting boats out of the sea, and we've got random aircraft carriers around Venezuela, and there's no plan. But I feel like we've been saying this in the podcast for like a month now, but they're at least doing the things that they would do if they are planning on trying to overthrow Maduro. And I guess supposedly Trump talked to Maduro over the weekend. Who knows about what?
I still think Trump's aversion, the lesson he's learned that starting these wars doesn't work out well for presidents politically, might be strong enough to that it's all bluff and talk, and he's going to then claim victory with Maduro, and he will make some deal, and maybe he will get access, he'll get U.S. access to a lot of the oil or something like that, and then he'll forget, of course, entirely about the huge human rights violations and the refugees and everything else, all the other damage Maduro is doing to the country, and decide, you know what, he can get along with Maduro just like he's getting along with every other dictator he runs into and can cut a deal with. So I don't know. It's so irresponsible. It's so reckless. The side effects in Latin America and elsewhere, the knock-on effects could well be very damaging. And we could stumble into a war, which we are totally unprepared for and have no plan right. for, that I know of. I mean, apart from bombing a few places. I mean, right.
To your point about maybe it's just a straight kleptocracy deal, that could very well be the outcome of this, given the also reporting that we have from over the weekend from the Wall Street Journal with regards to Russia. And maybe that is what is undergirding his call with Maduro. This journal piece, which I'll put in the show notes, because it's just like really
unbelievable.
It's just hard to even process like how we have reverted from the entire, for all of the, you know, mistakes and misjudgment calls of the post-World War II system. Like at the very least, like we had a rules-based order where leaders of all these countries were trying to make decisions based on the best interests of the people and make judgment calls and deal with threats. And, you know, there was no really thought that anyone from Eisenhower to Bush was like cashing in on the side based on these deals. Not the case anymore. We're fully into spoils system, kleptocracy, foreign policy. The title of the article is Make Money, Not War, Trump's Real Plan for Ukraine. I'm just going to read one of the paragraphs. Gentry Beach, a college friend of Donald Trump Jr. and campaign donor, has been in talks to acquire a stake in Russian Arctic gas if it's released from sanctions. Another Trump donor, Stephen Lynch, paid $600,000 this year to a lobbyist close to Trump Jr. who was helping him seek a Treasury Department license to buy the Nord Stream 2 pipeline. We've discussed all of the Witkoff family issues. I mean, like they have completely intermingled questions about what to do with Ukraine with questions of how individuals, in addition to America, they would argue America, but also specific individuals close to the administration can cash in and economically benefit from Russia.
Yeah, they're selling out Ukraine, which has been fighting bravely, obviously, against invasion by a dictator, brutal invasion of a dictator, for the sake of their personal financial interest. I mean, I hate to sound hysterical, but it almost literally is the definition of treason, right? I mean, it's not treason because we're not fighting, it's Ukraine. So, it's not for some mistaken view of Russia could be an important ally in the future and geopolitical blah, 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 right? It's pure personal money.
Yeah, and again, to their pitch, like the idea that the U.S. is going to benefit materially from economic rapprochement with Russia is insane. It's insane. Like, sure, like on the margins, could specific companies benefit, and like so could a couple, you know, could some jobs be created? Like, but like Russia is not like providing. It's not like Nixon going to China. Like that is not what is. That's not what's happening here. Like if we're just being frank about the economic potential of this deal. So the one just little factoid in that article, which I knew, but I didn't have the specific fact in my mind, and I think it's striking enough to mention. Witkoff is planning his sixth trip to Russia, which is coming up here this month, where he plans to meet Putin again. He hasn't been to Ukraine. He hasn't been to Ukraine. So like the main man, like the point man for this negotiation, like who has been like receiving awards from Putin and advancing Russian talking points, like isn't even listening to the country that is our purported ally in this situation. Crazy.
It's sickening, really. I mean, it really is sickening. It's one thing for people, let's say, to make mistaken judgments about geopolitics and all. This is just selling out for personal financial gain.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
'Tis the season for identity theft. This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But guess what? Identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss by yourself, even if you keep an eye on your bank and credit card statements. If your identity is stolen, your own U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. And all plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. The last thing you want to do this holiday season is face drained accounts, fraudulent loans, or other financial losses from identity theft all alone. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART. Or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Really quick on two other corruption things. I would make a mistake if I didn't mention. There's a New York Times article on David Balsack, who's the AI czar. He is really mad about this, as are a lot of his friends in Silicon Valley, because, you know, basically, people should read that whole article too. But the long and short of it is, Sachs has a ton of investments. He has, I guess, 449 stakes in companies with ties to artificial intelligence. He is the point man for deregulating everything AI related. Folks in Silicon Valley and Sachs are basically saying, well, you know, this isn't a Tom Homan situation. Like, nobody's handed him $50,000 personally to carve out a specific deal for somebody. Like, the New York Times didn't demonstrate any of that. Like, it's just a broader story about how the AI czar, this point man, is just mobbed up with all the big AI companies and on a very sensitive topic, but also has some geopolitical issues. Like, for example, us now offering chips to UAE and Saudi, who are, you know, maybe not the most reliable partners for, you know, depending on what your belief is about the potential for the most highly productive chips. He's doing everything possible to kind of maximize the AI company's profits and potential and maximize the deal potential, even with foreign despots, without, you know, any sort of reins or limits on it. The AI guys say, well, good, that's what we want, because we want to win the competition. I think everybody else is like, I don't know. maybe shouldn't we have some balancing views? Like, I'm not saying that we killed the industry, but like, should we really have a total shill from the industry who has literal financial stake in these companies being the point man on this? That notion is not appreciated among David and his friends in Silicon Valley.
You know, I've forgotten about Tom Homan. That's so old fashioned, like getting $50,000 in cash in a paper bag. I mean, it's so trivial compared to the degree of what's going on with the crypto stuff, the Bitcoin stuff, the AI stuff. Someone has a good tracker of how much money the Trump family has made so far in the Trump second term, and they're at $3 billion. And yeah. So poor Tom Homan. He's like
small potato.
I don't really feel bad for Tom Homan on the one hand, but
he should have a Bitcoin. Homan cash, you know?
And all this stuff is not just, again, that they're getting the money, but that this damage they're doing to the system and to the country and to the world order. I mean, and to friends around the world, it's really something else. And, you know, I used to think on tariffs even, like, well, he's mistaken. He has a stupid economic theory. And I guess that's true to some degree. And obviously he does believe in that, I guess. But so much of that is also a grift. I mean, it's all, This is where I guess I've now lost any faith that anything they do is, I mean, the tax bill, at one point I would have said, well, that's just Reagan kind of, tax theory taken to an extreme and foolish and so forth. But nonetheless, you can see why they think it's good for the country. But I also think now the most simple-minded, if I can put it this way, neo-Marxist explanation is probably correct, that, you know what? They want more money. So they passed a tax bill that gives them more money. I don't think this.
Just to make the libs mad who listen, I should say that the top tax rate is like 40% lower than it was during the Reagan tax bill in 81. So I mean, there's some reasons to maybe not do the Reagan tax policy now, different from 1981. But anyway, one other corruption story. I don't know if there'll be much to say about this, but just want to make sure that everybody's seen it. Donald Trump granted clemency to private equity executive David Gentile. I hate he's smearing my people, the Gentiles. David Gentile had just begun a 7-year prison sentence for what prosecutors described as a $1.6 billion fraud scheme. He was the founder of GPB Capital, and he had been in jail for 12 days when he was granted clemency. This is also, you know, one of these frauds that, like, there were actual victims, right? And it's not one of these things where there was a fraud where it was like, he kind of lied about the valuation of his company, and like it's hard to find a real victim. That's not the case here. Like, people got screwed over by this guy, and straight clemency after 12 days. I'm sure it was a real rough 12 days in the Ghislaine Maxwell prison for this guy.
Yeah, and God knows what money is trading hands with various family members and other friends to make this one happen. And the Honduran one that Andrew wrote about, they promised to pardon the former Honduran president who was convicted in the U.S. Of financial crimes. I mean, this is not like, oh, maybe he got railroaded in some third world country, you know? And he's been, I guess, promised pardon or promised clemency. And that turns out all to be, I thought at one point that was maybe he just likes him because he was a fellow kind of authoritarian right winger, which is true also. But it turns out there's a big financial connection there with some of Trump's supporters, right? And it's all about Bitcoin and stuff. I couldn't even follow it. It's so complicated.
I was going to save this one because it hasn't happened yet, but just as a little teaser for people, because we'll get into it more in the later of the week. The nuts of the story here is that the leader of Honduras was working with Peter Thiel and Mark Andreessen and others on what seems to be kind of an onshore version of seasteading. Thiel was very big into seasteading, where there would be like a community on the sea that did not have to follow the laws of, you know, free countries, and that cryptocurrency would be how they traded money, and you know, it would be legal to do twink blood injections or whatever else Peter Thiel wants to do outside the bounds of U.S. rules, and he's going to do it on the sea. The Honduran president was like, "Well, we create a city here in Honduras for this type of community. There's big investment there from the other libertarian Silicon Valley types." Simultaneously, the Honduran president was doing a lot of drug trafficking. You know, I thought the administration supposedly is really harsh on drug trafficking. That's why we're bombing boats out of the Caribbean. This guy was doing drug trafficking, among other crimes. He gets indicted here in America. And now the plan is for him to be pardoned. We'll see how that shakes out. There's a Honduran election, I think,
last night.
Yesterday?
I think it's unclear who's won. I don't really know much about it. Okay. But yeah, no, I forgot. Yeah, I think thank you for the correction. So I said financial, but he was indicted and convicted here for drug smuggling, basically massive amounts of cocaine.
Yes,
and so that's Trump really cares a lot about that, allegedly, right?
Yeah, very deep. Ugh.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
Tis the season for identity theft. This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But guess what? Identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss by yourself, even if you keep an eye on your bank and credit card statements. If your identity is stolen, your own U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. And all plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. The last thing you want to do this holiday season is face drained accounts, fraudulent loans, or other financial losses from identity theft all alone. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART. Or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Speaking of elections, I should also mention we have the Tennessee special tomorrow with Afton Bain, who is running in one of these preposterous districts around Nashville where they pizza Nashville into three or four districts where you have like, you get one third of Nashville and then it goes all the way out to rural Tennessee. All of those districts are pretty big stretches for the Democrats. This one was maybe, depending on who you talk to and what the, you know, what you would rather prefer, whether you want the kind of the more suburban upper middle class Nashville types or whether you want some of the more like colleges and I think an HBCU and more, you know, kind of black voters in her district. So both of them are like Republican plus 20, pretty big stretch, but who the hell knows? Off your election. That's tomorrow. If you have friends in Nashville, call them and see if they're in that part of the pizza. Make sure they're voting. Finally, well, let's end on something happy. I'm not happy. Not happy. Happy is not the right word. Let's end on something that we can all just kind of watch with a bemused detachment. And that is Donald Trump's physical standing. I don't know if you have any thoughts on this. We had a listener sent me a photo from a friend who was at a Mar-a-Lago wedding. And it was a picture of Trump, which we'll put on screen for the YouTube viewers, looking horrible. I did verify this. Was posted on an Instagram slide. This is not AI. There's like a various slides. I saw the other pictures, and he looks very bad without his makeup on. Like he really should just get the makeup tattooed on his face so he's permanently orange because he looks, and as bad as the orange looks, he looks horrible with his actual skin. And then we talked about this on the next level, but there's this video of him walking outside the White House where he's really laboring to walk. I don't know. I've been reluctant to be the, you know, Trump is deteriorating person. In a lot of ways for me, Trump has been like decently similar from how he was 10 years ago, always a little bit crazy, but I don't know. So I'm opening up to you, Bill Kristol, as somebody who is, you know, in Trump's generation. Yes, what do you see these signs among your peer group? Are you seeing anything that you see from others in your peer group, I wonder?
I'm going to pretend I didn't even hear that question, but I am going to finally, the only thing I'm going to say is, I think he probably is declining somewhat. The thing about the corruption, just so we can get back, is it's so widespread, though. That and among him and in the movement, if you will, and among his supporters, we were talking about some of the, you know, tech guys, and but obviously not just tech guys, the energy guys and everyone. I don't know what if he goes away. Well, Vance is more ideological, which is both good and bad, obviously in some ways. But I don't know. I feel like the whole thing is now so permeated. I don't know the right way to say it. That even if Trump was removed from it, plopped away, it's got to chug on for its own sake. They can't. None of them could afford to let it stop. You know what I mean?
Right.
First, and secondly, they can't. This is a big problem. They can't afford to really have honest elections in 2028 because what if they lose power? Then what happens to all their deals and all their corrupt? Well, everything they've done that's corrupt that could look be looked into, and also going forward, everything starts to fall apart. So I think the degree to which we now have, if this gets permitted to go on much longer. We have way beyond a Trump problem. We have sort of a systemic problem almost that it'd be as if Putin left tomorrow, I suppose. There'd be a fight over his heirs. It'd be less dangerous, probably. It'd be a little better, probably. But the chances of an actual Democrat, small d, winning as opposed to just one faction or another of the kleptocratic, dictatorial, autocratic cabal. Probably not so great. So that's, I guess that's, I don't know. That's my.
Okay. Thanks for bringing us back down. Bill, I pulled a laugh at the way Trump walked.
Sorry about that. No, I know.
He is walking very strange. He did that nice putt. Fox News did Fox News released a single video of Trump's golf match, which was a kind of a chip putt that he made from the fringe. So it was an interesting editorial choice by Fox and Brett Baer, who is his, you know, in the foursome and who is cheering very excitedly. And I pointed this out on social media, and some of the Trump fans are saying like, this is just what bros do when they golf. And I was like, is that really true? Do news anchors golfing with lawless presidents usually like jump for joy when they make a putt? I don't know. Maybe not. It feels a little close for comfort for me. One man's opinion.
Look at the bright side, Tim. Your friend Jennings, was it Scott Jennings?
Yeah.
Think how unhappy he was that Brett Baer was there golfing with Trump and showing true fealty by jumping with joy when it could. Scott is thinking, that could have been me. I could have, it would have helped me so much in all my efforts and endeavors, you know? And instead he's sulking with Brett Baer. Brett Baer's ahead of him in line, you know?
I should know Brett did barely kind of make it off the ground, but he's trying to jump. Okay. One, the serious thing. I did want to end with one serious thing because you left me with an interesting thought that I just kind of want to leave for us to mull over. I do think that once we get into maybe next year, as early as the midterms, but certainly 2028, tech world is going to try to cut a deal with the Democrats to solve this corruption problem that you're saying. And there's going to be a lot of pressure from the big CEOs, the big platforms, the guys with big megaphones to say, Democrats, okay, like, if you just chill out, you know, on us, if you don't go after us so hard, you know, we're creating a lot of jobs, we're creating a lot of wealth in the country, we'll come back into the fold, right? Like, we don't, you know, this was just a little dalliance. And I don't know, we're looking at some of these weirdos coming behind Trump, and I don't know if we can deal with them quite as well. And that is going to be an interesting judgment call that we're going to see different Democrats fall on different sides of that line over the next few years. Despite being mostly, I would be smeared by the leftists who follow this as a corporatist Democrat, besides being basically a capitalist Democrat. On this one issue, I feel like I might end up finding myself on the side of the populace, because I think going at these guys and not being susceptible to their siren song is probably the right way to go. But I don't know that it's 100% clear judgment call. So anyway, that's something I'll leave people with. Do you have any thoughts on that, or should we just let that hang?
Oh, that's interesting. We should discuss that over the next year or two.
Year or two. Okay, yeah,
I'm also ambivalent. We could be sort of populist free market types, but not think that the AI guys should get special deals. I guess that would be the way to square the circle somehow. But I don't know who's going to embrace that among in the Democratic
we'll find
field.
Someone.
But the one point I will make, though, I've become convinced this is an AP Stoddard, our former colleague, and who's doing fine, and I had lunch with her this week.
Oh, great. Hey,
she's absolutely convinced of this, that being anti is too strong, being skeptical of AI, being for regulating it, being serious about it, not just giving them everything. She's absolutely convinced that'll be the winning message in the Democratic primary in 28. And that it's a good issue for people to educate themselves on, for these candidates and the rest of us as well. And that it'll be a big issue. Do you agree with that? I was struck. She made this case to me pretty convincing. I hadn't really thought about it much, honestly.
I think it might be. And we should get AB back on the podcast. Yeah. It's been too long. We can have her make it to the listeners. So AB will be calling. Bill Kristol. Appreciate you very much. Everybody else, I'll be back in my home studio tomorrow in New Orleans. So come back and hang out with me then. Peace.
So let's get it how we live. That's why we did what we did. When I lost my city, almost lost my mind. In and out of hotels, feel like I'm doing time. Please, Mr. Officer, don't shoot, cause I ain't eating this. I was stuck up on that roof, ain't trying to make an excuse, but they running from the truth. We know they blew them levers, man, but we ain't got no proof. Whatever they do, I can't turn my back. I was born righteous, so righteous where I'm at. Send them troops home, let daddy to San Iraq, and tell FEMA we gon' need more than 10 stacks. Wherever you at, St. Bernard to the Cali, yo. One time, do it big for De Niro. H-Town all the way to the A. We appreciate the love of my people, can't stay. We the men's away.
The Borg Podcast is produced by Katie Cooper with audio engineering and editing by Jason Brown.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on, take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.